Start looking at things with a different view. Sometimes we tend to take our view or our focus and we narrow it. When God wants us to see the entire picture. A lot of times we don't get to see the entire picture because we're caught up in things that we're dealing with. I find out in these last days, this end time, that folks' emotions are overtaking them.
Yeah.
Me included. And anybody else. But then I understand why Paul said you have to bring all things under subjection. When he says all things, that includes us. Amen. This word, it's not going to be long. Amen. But if Greg would keep playing it, we'll be. Amen. I mean, I've been thinking about this thing. What we saw Wednesday night was a demonstration of faith. One of the highest forms of faith that I've seen in a long time. And so I've been meditating on the 11th chapter of Hebrews since Wednesday. So if you have Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the very first verse, it says, now what is the
substance
of things
hoped
for, the evidence of things
not seen.
We're going to read that again. Now
faith
is the
substance
of things
hoped for,
the
evidence
of things
not seen.
Verse 2, for by it the elders did what?
Obtained
a good report. Goes on to say, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are what?
Seen
were not made of things which do
appear.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what?
Righteous.
God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, he yet
speaketh.
How many dead people you know still talk? Come on, Jesus. not unless you know him. So when we look at this word, it says now, right now, moreover, faith is the what?
Substance.
When you talk about the word substance, it means essence or the very life that's in something. Also, assurance. When you go back to the word faith, it's pistis faith. So that means that there is a divinely implanted principle that is in your life. What is that principle? That principle is the substance. That divinely implanted principle is the substance. It's the very essence and the assurance of God. So, if you want to have faith tomorrow, that's up to you. Or you want to wait till next week to have it, that's your prerogative. But I think I want to have it like right now.
Because
there are some things going on in my life and around my life I need to take place right now.
Amen.
Amen. And scriptures try to explain to us just because you don't see it happen right now don't mean that you don't have
faith.
Come on now.
Come on now.
So, this principle, this living being that's on the inside of us, gives which is our the essence. I'm gonna take a little bit further. It is the essence, or it is the character and the nature of the Father.
Amen.
That's what you have to have faith in.
That's right.
That's the principle that's operating in your life. Is the character and the nature of the Father. That's why it says pistis, or talks about faith in this manner, because it wants you to know that there is the Godhead living in you.
Uh-huh.
And what it does is the essence and the character and nature of God gives you the ability to hope for things that you can't see. He said, well, Pastor, what about the evidence of it? When it talks about evidence, talking about proof talking about conviction.
Uh-huh.
Where's the evidence of it?
Yeah.
Well, the evidence of it is in you.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's where the evidence is.
Yeah.
Because you're the living proof that there is God living in you. Through the character and the nature of that God.
Amen.
Which gives you the ability to see those things that are not. You can't see yourself getting a house. But then yet God provides you a house. With your natural eyes, you can't see yourself receiving a car. But God works it out so that you can have a car. And not just any car.
Amen.
What is that? That's that principle that's operating in you, which gives you hope. See, the thing about hope is you can't see hope. You can't even feel hope.
Amen.
Break it down, Pastor.
You just can't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that are operating around you on a daily basis.
Yes.
That lets you know that you can't hope for this.
Amen.
That there is evidence of this. That volcano just erupted. Most folks would say, that's a bad thing. But it's evidence. It's proof. That God's still in control.
Amen.
to have some faith right now.
All right.
You can't wait till tomorrow to decide you want to have faith in something that you can't see. You have to have faith in it right now. Scripture somewhere says, call those things that... So that means you have to use the principle of faith that's in your life, allow the Godhead that's in your life to produce what? What you need.
Amen.
It don't matter how much we preach to you that it can happen. You have to look within yourself and see it happen.
That's right.
And the only way you can see it happening is through faith. Right now, faith.
Right now, faith.
Because if you can have right now faith, Brother Tony, you can please God.
That's right. Come on.
And once you please God, all kind of faith, then you can have what you need.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
My Lord.
Folks say, well, you got faith. How come you didn't believe God to heal your leg? I did. It just didn't get healed. That don't mean I don't believe that God still is a, he's a healer. Because he is. Because he's healed me before.
That's right.
He's shown me evidence and proof that he can do it anytime he wants to. But there are some times in our lives that we are allowed to go through things so that our lives will show forth the faith that God has given us so that someone else can say, man, they really do have faith. You know, we talk about faith like it's a joke. It ain't no joke. It's a living being. He said right now is the substance of things. And I like the word things because the word things is translated not just spiritually and but naturally.
Yes. Amen. Naturally. Amen.
One thing Pastor had taught us, he used to always say, you have to prophesy to your situation. You have to prophesy to your trial and to all your tribulation. You have to, what do? You prophesy the hope.
Amen.
So that you can see the evidence of that prophecy.
Come on, man.
Why? Because there is power in you to make things happen.
Amen.
Listen to this. For by it, the elders. Now the word by is translated here, motion from beneath or motion from the interior. That means that there's something that's in you that gives you the ability.
Amen.
Yeah. Listen to me. It wasn't what the elders did. I mean, it wasn't whether or not they healed the sick or raised the dead or, you know, made food manifest itself. What it was the faith or the confidence that they had in God.
Amen.
That's why it says motion from the interior. Because it wants you to understand it was something that was in them that allowed them to obtain a good report.
Amen.
To testify, to be a witness. But see, it's not talking about them testifying. It's talking about God testifying for them.
My Lord.
And being a witness for them through faith.
Mm-hmm.
We understand. How many understand? That the world's refrained.
Yeah.
Now see, this is where we used to really a little sticky. We used to assume we was talking about Jupiter and Mars and all them other planets, these worlds being framed. But it's when you look at the word world, it's talking about ages, which means points to the beginning and to the present and to the end. It's talking about time periods that we live in. And if you don't believe that, you can go to John. It says, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word of God was God. Yeah. Nothing was made except by God for God. So that lets you know that when it talks about the worlds being framed, it's talking about this place. This time period. So therefore, we're supposed to have some kind of understanding that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We can take that pole, for instance. We know that that pole was made. But how many of us in here know what that pole was made out of? If you run into it, you think it's steel. But there's other alloys that'll make you feel bad when you hit it, and it's not necessarily steel. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So a lot of things that we sense, that we imagine, were made of things which do not appear. Or do not shine. Listen to this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more what?
Excellent
sacrifice. Well, if you think about it, Jesus had a more excellent ministry. In the process of doing that, it said he was what? Righteous. That don't mean that he was holy. That just means that that time period, or in that age, or in that area, he was in right standing with God. Your faith will put you in right standing with God. That's what pleases God.
Yes.
So what we need to have is some right now faith. And not yesterday faith. By faith, Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, remember, faith means the same thing as it did in the first verse. Business. Or a principle. What it's telling us is the fact that Abel had a principle living on the inside of him that had the ability to impress him to do what was right in the eyes of God. Which is called what? Faith. And it did what? It pleased God. Cain had that same evidence in him, but he shut it down because there was something other in his flesh that he wanted to appease. So God didn't like his offering.
That's right.
What did he offer unto God? What did Cain offer unto God? Anybody know?
I think it was a cat.
What was he? He was a tiller of the soil. So he offered God something that he was a part of. But it wasn't the first fruit. If you get really deep into this, you'll find out that the offering that Cain offered God was the same offering that Adam offered God. Which was a manifestation of his flesh. Lord, let me finish here. Faith can't offer up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaking. And yet speaking. We know for a fact that Cain killed it. But his blood spoke from the ground.
Yes.
Have you noticed that? Where's the book? It's the book of Jude that talks about Cain. And the book of Jude talks about Cain in a very condemnation way. Because his actions did not please God. Jude is probably one of the shortest books, but one of the most powerful books. People don't like to read Jude because it's almost like looking into a mirror. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not what? See death. But was not found because God had translated him, or before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? So what's the key to your blessing? Pleasing God. How do you please God? Through faith. Right now, not tomorrow. Not my faith. You can't use my faith.
Come on now. Amen.
You can't use Mother Relaford's faith. You have to use the faith that God has instilled in you. I like that word translated. Because when you look at the word translated, it just doesn't mean that he just disappeared. But he had to have an organ change. Because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So that meant that Enoch had to translate or change. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. Had to change his substance.
Oh, Jesus. My Lord.
In order to be with God. And if he didn't have the right now faith to believe that that could take place, we wouldn't be reading this story about Enoch.
Amen.
We'd be reading somewhere where he burned up in the atmosphere.
My Lord.
See, he was translated. Lord Jesus. In the Greek, the word is metatethemi. Metatethemi has the solution. That means that there is a solution for that which is real becoming that which is not. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. All because he had a testimony that he pleased God. What's that thing? We have problems. We want to blame somebody. We want to blame that. We want to blame my parents. We want to blame my brothers, sisters. When we ought to start checking ourselves from the neck up.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure that's where we'll find the problem. But without what? Faith. Your Bible says, but without faith it is. My Bible reads, but without faith, impossible. It eliminates the it is, because then that gives you the ability to decide. In the original writings, the it is not there. It just says, without faith, impossible. Bam, that's just it. You don't have no faith? Impossible.
Come on now. Come on now.
To please God. Oh, Lord. If you don't ever want to do nothing else in your life, you better want to please God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Because when it comes to where the rubber meets the road, I want to be one of them tires El Torres that can be picked up and separated from the road. Some tires don't get separated from the road because they explode. And you find yourself dodging them. You hang around folks that don't have faith in God, you will eventually find yourself dodging them. So without, if you don't have it manifested in your life, impossible or unable to please God or to gratify entirely what the word please mean him, for he that, let me show you something, let me show you something real quick. You know, said, but without faith, impossible to please who?
God.
Don't say God. It says him. H-I-M. Any place you see H-I-M, it's not talking about the Father, it's talking about the Son. So if you don't allow your business or your divinely implanted principle to manifest itself in your life, you can't make Jesus happy. And if you can't make Jesus happy, you most certainly ain't going to touch the heart of the Father.
My God.
He said, I'll come to give you life.
Yeah.
That you might have it more abundantly. But you can't have abundant life if you don't have no faith.
Amen.
Please, for he that cometh to God must believe that what?
He is.
He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Jesus said what? That very simple scripture. He says, how's it go? If you don't have to ever want for anything. You don't have to want for anything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be what?
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Who is the kingdom of God? Jesus. You want to please God? He is the rewarder of them that diligently
seek him.
And the word diligent means that you don't have time to give up.
That's right.
That means that you can't get tired. Means that you can't become weary in well doing. And see, we get caught up on the well doing part too, because we think that means the way I treat you. When it talks about well doing is in serving God in faith and in truth.
Amen.
We better stop playing with God. And then you know the story goes on and on about the different witnesses who did what they did. You know, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by what?
Faith.
Faith. Right. Elder Russell, what if God told you to go outside and start building the building? How would you know it was God? What spirit? Gotcha, did it. Faith. That's what it's been talking about all along. Faith. The try faith. Amen. Let me tell you the story. Then I'm done. My mother laid. She didn't want to stay in the hospital, so we brought her home. And we had a bathroom built downstairs so she didn't have to try to get up the stairs. Eventually, she went into a coma. And she laid there for weeks in that coma. I'm not going to lie to you, and I questioned God concerning the matter. Because I told God, Father, you said I had faith to heal the sick and to raise the dead. How come you're not healing my mother? Never got an answer, of course, as to how I didn't. But one thing did happen. We spent the whole day over there singing songs, worship, praise songs to my mother. I was on my way to church and got a call that she had passed away. Do you know there was no animosity in my spirit because my mother had left? And God never gave me an answer why he couldn't heal her when I knew that he was a healer? When I've seen him heal cancers, I see folks spit out tumors. The principle in my mind said, maybe if I had Pastor Hart over there, it would have changed. But God said, no, it was what I made it to be.
My Lord. Glory to your name, Father.
I've prayed for folks and God has healed them of cancers and they sent me back letters or called me to let me know how God has delivered them and I'm wondering, how come you can't heal my mother? Did that mean I would have had any less faith in God? My flesh told me I did. But later on, God did speak to me. He said, no, that has nothing to do with your faith in God. Your faith is knowing and understanding the fact that if she does leave here, she's going to heaven.
That's right.
So when you go back to the first verse, now faith is the substance, the evidence of things that we don't know nothing about, but we can be assured by one thing, that if we leave here today, we going to make heaven our home.
Amen.
And that is your hope.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Because your hope is in your faith.
Amen.
And your confidence in who you are in God.
Amen.
And what God has promised you,
yes,
for giving your heart,
yes,
and life to God.
Yes.
So I want some now faith.
Amen.
Forget tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
You know what I used to think was one of the most horrible scriptures that God could have ever put in his Bible was the one that says, let the dead bury the dead and the living for the living. That just didn't sound like something God would say, put in his word. But he did. And I learned the truth of it. The way I learned the truth of it, I think in that 1 year, I buried my mother, my father, and my nephew, and my brother. Only 1 year. And the strange thing about it was, didn't have no fear. Because by faith and through faith, I knew that they were about to make someplace a better home than the one they had.
Thank you, Lord.
See, at that particular time, faith took over hope. Which made me to know. Amen. You gotta know. That's why Paul said faith without works is dead. You might as well just cook your own goose. Amen. So we're going to serve some right now faith. Right now. Amen. What I need from God, I need it. Right now. And if I have enough hope, Sister Michelle, to see that which cannot be seen, I'll get what I ask God for.
Amen.
See, we forget God searches the intents of our heart, so he already knows what you need and what you didn't ask for before you even ask it. But he also looking to see how much hope and faith is mingling together in your spirit. Because if there's none, that means you can't please God. And if you can't please God, you can't get what you want. Or what you need. I'm excited about what God is doing in the earth. Folks say, well, it's all kind of stuff going on there. Of course it is. It's all scriptural. Wars and rumors of wars, perilous times, all those things have already been predestinated to happen. There's no way around it. But God did say, with faith, you can live right in the middle of it.
That's right. That's right.
What do you think kept the Hebrew boys alive? It was their faith in God. Then God was so powerful. Guess who it touched? The king.
Amen.
King walked over there and looked down and said, hey, didn't we throw 3 men in there? Well, there's a 4th man in there, and he looks like the son of What does that tell you about real faith? King, we love you, but we ain't gonna come against our God. So if you feel like you gotta throw us in this thing, you just go right ahead, throw us on in there. Our God will deliver us. When you make that statement, you have to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. There's no room for doubt. And it says the fire was so hot that the guards that threw him in the fire got burnt up trying to throw them in. Now listen, they throwing them in and make it burn up. And you know what the great thing about it was? When they come out of the fiery furnace, you ever barbecue? You can't barbecue and not smell like smoke. They came out of that thing and it smelled like smoke. That means that God will protect you from the inside to the outside. But you gotta have some what? Some what kind of faith? Service, I want you to